right. We are back with episode 14 of Foreplay?
I want to say 15.
15?
I feel like we've been saying 14 for like 3 weeks now.
We just keep saying episode 14. Yeah. It's Zurich Classic Week. It doesn't really matter which episode it is. Foreplay presented by Barstool Sports. It's a Monday. It's been a long-ass weekend for me.
Oh, that's right. Do we want to jump right into that?
No, we don't have to jump right into it. But I mean, you know, it feels good to be back in the studio as always. Feels good to be sitting here with Trent talking about golf.
Yep.
We have a very special podcast this week, joined by our boy Uncle Chaps later in the show.
Yep. He was down at the Valero Texas Open, so he was boots on the ground, as they say. So he wanted to come on and talk about his experience. And he's also hopping into golf again after a bit of a layoff after getting out of the military. So it was a good interview.
A lot of fun. Typically fun banter with Chapsy about getting back into golf, vices on the golf course, and little teaser, he hits you with a really solid Chaps ad read.
Great Chaps ad
read. That will just make you smile. It's going to make you buy stuff. It's going to make you buy right in. So yeah, we're excited about that. We're excited to talk about the Valero Texas Open. Kevin Chappell.
Yeah.
With a nice W. He's a kind of a become a little bit of the journeyman type that you're like, this guy's got to win at some point.
Yeah, he won it on the 72nd hole with a birdie, which I wrote it in my blog. I think that's the way you want to win a tournament. Would you rather win a tournament by double digit strokes, blow everybody out of the water, or win it, like have a chance to win it on the 18th tee on Sunday?
Well, I mean, if you know that it's going to go down the way that it did, then obviously this way,
mm-hmm.
because the drama, the excitement, you know, you proved to everybody you're a clutch motherfucker because you buried a putt
right.
on 18 on the 72nd hole. But if it's a little risky the other way. If you're like, oh, you're standing on the tee and you're tied for the lead and you need a birdie to win, that seems risky.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know you wouldn't choose it that way, but I think coming out of it, you feel better like, oh, I know more about myself after winning it like that.
Yeah, so he, this was his 180th start on tour. He finished runner-up at the 2013 Memorial, and then he had four runner-up finishes last year, six total in his career, including last year at the Players' Championship and a playoff loss at the Tour Championship. So this guy has been knocking at the doorstep.
Knocking at the door. And you could tell, all that, he even said it afterwards, it felt like a monkey off his back. You could tell as soon as he won, the celebration with his caddy was something special.
Awesome celebration.
Unleash that shit.
A lot of times in the golf world, too, we get guys that are, you know, pretty calm demeanor out there, which, as we've detailed, is very understandably, you know, needed in terms of what it takes to win a golf tournament, but it doesn't lend itself to too much excitement.
Yeah, you don't want to have too many Jason Duffners.
No, you don't. And we love Duff.
We do.
We just also love Sellies. We love people going nuts. We love to be able to kind of see how much it means to him. He had a great, like, double fist pumps, going nuts with the caddy.
Double fist pump, dropped the putter, and bear hugged his caddy, which was great.
I saw a bunch of the caddies on Twitter getting into it, too, being like, yeah, we don't just carry the bag. Look at the emotion from mm-hmm. the caddy, who was all jacked up and fired up.
Yep.
So it was awesome to see. Another big storyline, probably the biggest for us coming out of the week. Ian Poulter.
That was bigger. All due respect to Kevin Chappell and his win. Happy for him. The big news out of the Valero Texas Open is Ian Poulter completely laying down like the little baby back bitch that he is, not even putting up an effort to make the cut. He is a coward. I'm going to go on record and say he is a coward. If a guy with that much on the line, at least put up an effort and make the cut and make it interesting. It was kind of not, it was not as fun of a weekend for us. Because you had said from the outset, it might be good to watch him just miss making $30,624 as opposed to him completely missing the cut. But he did what Ian Poulter always does and disappointed and missed the cut.
I love, Trent, how much you're just rubbing salt in the wound of Ian Poulter right now, kicking him while he's down, shitting on him. I think it's great.
I think we are how everyone else feels. Oh, golf's a gentleman's game. Oh, I want to see everybody do well. No, we don't. Not an asshole like Ian Poulter who tries to get people fired for no reason.
Yeah, and I want to clarify, we don't just hate Ian Poulter because he's hurt the U.S. in the Ryder Cup over the years. In fact, on a certain level, we respect the hell out of that. Like, yeah, it's frustrating, but that is not the reason that we hate Ian Poulter. We hate Ian Poulter because he is a massive asshole. He tries to get people fired that are just good, normal people that maybe go have a couple drinks and chirp at him on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
which is just basically any one of us. That's what we do
yeah,
all the time. He is completely tone deaf to the realities of normal folk.
Trying to get somebody fired who the job that he has is transporting Ian's multiple Ferraris across the country so Ian can drive them.
Also, bitching at an airline, which is maybe the most stereotypical move in the world. Mm-hmm. But bitching at them because your nanny got rerouted and now you and your wife have to deal with a couple kids on your own.
For a few hours.
So he's just an asshole.
This has been a really good couple of months for Ian Poulter haters, and I know there's a lot of them out there, because a couple of months ago, his clothing company went belly up. And here's what Ian doesn't seem to understand. You want to talk about lack of self-awareness. You can't be in the business of selling things that other people sell. Like, take John Daly, for example. People buy John Daly stuff because, A, it's cool. It looks interesting on the golf course. But also, more importantly, because they love the guy.
Exactly.
You want to buy, you want to say, this is John Daly stuff. Can you imagine somebody coming up to you on the golf course being like, yeah, these are Ian Poulter pants?
I'd be like, get the fuck out of my face. You stink.
And that is why a company like that goes belly up.
Failed. Don't be an asshole. Maybe your company will do better. So, yeah, you're right. So, he started 3 over through 5. He shot an opening round 75, didn't bring it back at all with a 71, basically fucked himself from the start. My point going into the week was that I thought it would have been really cool, Trent, to have the moment on Friday afternoon where he rolls up to 18 and he needs a birdie or something to make the cut.
Yeah.
And, like, viciously lips out, and he's just got, like, a moment of pure devastation. And we didn't get that. However... It was so nice on Thursday to just know that he was fucked.
And for anybody who likes Ian Poulter, which there's probably none of them listening, which is fine, if you're rooting for this guy, you got to see more of an effort out of him than that. Can you imagine somebody rooting for him and he's just, oh, I'm going to put up a 75, 71, lose my tour card, no big deal.
No, it was great. It was really nice to see. We were calling it a good feel-good story for everybody that hates assholes like Ian Poulter. So everybody kind of rallied around it. His final score came in. I was out in Vegas. Mm. I was actually golfing on Friday.
Okay.
With my boys. A little bachelor party. We're going to get into some of the specifics about my weekend and the horror story.
You may or may not have missed a flight.
Of an ending that happened. But I was out there, Trent. I was hitting balls, drinking a bunch of beers, drinking a couple transfusions, which will get you real messed up out of the course. Okay. And I was using my BombTech wedges.
Ooh, those sound nice.
They are sexy. All my buddies were looking at them like, hey, Riggsy, are these the BombTech wedges you talk about? Are they really as cool and as good and as legitimate as you talk about? They absolutely are. For those that don't know, BombTech Golf, they're kind of disrupting the golf industry. That's bomb as in explosion, tech as in technology, golf. Well, we're golfers. That's what we do. We talk about golf. It's simple. You get 3 wedges for $97. 52 degree, 56 degree, 60 degree wedge, total of $97. Unheard of deal. Quality's great. I love them. I use them. They're awesome. They're stainless steel wedges, backed as well by a 60-day guarantee. If you don't like them, you send them back for a 100% refund, so there's no risk on your part. They ship next business day, and you cannot find better performance and value combined. BombTech wedges. They've partnered with us, of course, for an exclusive offer. You go to Google, type in grenade wedges, find BombTech Golf. You can take an additional 15% off the grenade wedge set using the coupon code BOOM15. That's BOOM15. One word, BOOM15. Seriously, while you're listening right now, Google grenade wedges. Check them out. BOOM15 is the promo code. That's BombTech Golf. Anyways, so I'm in Vegas.
Uh-huh. You've been talking about this trip for a while. You had even asked around the office kind of how to handle a Vegas bachelor party.
Yep.
This and that. Everybody's giving you advice. Big Cat's giving you pretty good advice. He's been to a lot of them. He's a seasoned veteran of the bachelor party game.
Yep.
Let's talk about how all this went.
So I'm trying to book my flights, and you know, that's always one of the bigger hassles, especially when you consider somewhere like Vegas, because nobody wakes up on a Sunday morning in Vegas and is like, oh, I'm going to hang out in Vegas for a little longer.
It's terrible.
Get the fuck out of town. That's everybody's mindset. I've been to Vegas a handful of times. I know that. So I booked a 6 a.m. flight out of Vegas on Sunday morning.
Which people are going to say there's going to be 2 camps.
Yep.
One, you're a crazy person. Those are people who probably have never been to Vegas who are saying, what are you doing, bachelor party? You can't, you know, you're going to be hungover.
Those
can't
are narrow-minded idiots that cannot think about things from a different point of view.
Those are people who they're losers maybe because they don't get invited to bachelor parties.
Losers and haters.
Hatered and losers, of which there are many, especially many. For this story.
Yep.
And then the other camp of people, which is everyone in the office for the most part, is saying that's a great idea.
Yep. And so it was a good idea. I stick with the fact that, in my opinion, it was a great idea, really poor execution. So what happened was Saturday, we go out to a pool party all day, a Darty season, go buy a shirt.
And at the beginning of this process, you had thought about booking an 11 p.m. flight on Saturday.
That was Big Cat's theory.
Which isn't terrible because then you're really out of there. But your point was you don't want to be at the pool party that you're at all day thinking, I have a flight in, you're counting down the hours. I have a flight in 6 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours.
Right. And that I didn't want that hanging over my head. And I'm someone that I can power through. Like, it doesn't bother me that I have a 6 a.m. flight all day. I'm like, that's totally cool. I'll drink all the way till 4. I'll go back, grab my stuff, take a cab. Next thing you know, I'm on the plane. I'm asleep. We land. I'm in New York. It's middle of the day. Done deal. None of that happened. I made it to about 1:45, 2 a.m. I made the fatal decision of being like, all right, I'm going to get a couple hours sleep.
Oh.
So I'd been up hard, going hard as fuck. Pool party, like I said, the whole works. You're running on adrenaline. You're running on a lot of booze. Went to bed at like 1:45, 2 a.m. Woke up at like 10.
Not even close.
I mean, my alarm's blaring, but like it doesn't matter at that point.
Let's break it down. You go to bed at 1:45. Your flight's at 6.
Yep.
You could have gotten like 3 hours of sleep, maybe.
Maybe. Even that's pushing it, but maybe. But when you're drunk and you've been out all day, you've been out all weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, once it hits you, you got to go to sleep.
I love that you blew right by it. That's my favorite part
of
the whole story.
Wasn't even close. Yeah. I wasn't even fucking close. Like, I didn't have a moment where I woke up and was like,
That was my question. We're in the Trust Tree, the Trust Studio, the Foreplay Studio. We're recording a podcast. Was there at any point, did you wake up at like 4:38 and you're like, nope.
Nope, not even close. I woke up at 10 and my alarm was going off.
Oh,
like I hadn't even shut it off. It was just blaring. So it's my fault for trying to go to sleep. Anyways, missed my flight yesterday, which was supposed to be at 6 a.m. Couldn't get on another flight until 9:24 p.m. So now I've got a million hours to kill in Vegas.
So many.
Get kicked out of my hotel room because you got to check out.
That's how all hotel rooms work, yeah.
That's exactly how hotel rooms work if you never stayed in one. So I had all day to kill in Vegas with no bed to go to. I just sat miserably in the sports book by myself for like 10 hours.
It is hard to describe the feeling of how bad travel sucks no matter what. You're somewhere, I missed my flight, now I got to stay here forever. Vegas is by far the worst because you're hungover as shit. Everything around you is like, hey, we should party with other than. And you're like, I just want to get the fuck out of here, and you can't.
I had some stoolie invite me, Riggsy. We got Riggs wristband for you. Come to this pool party I'm going to with my buddies all day. We got a party bus taking us to and from. I wanted to. I thought about it, but I just couldn't. I couldn't drink. I couldn't do anything.
If you do that, you're just never coming back from Vegas.
No, and today would be miserable. Like, it already is brutal.
Yeah.
But it would have been I landed at 5:06 in the morning.
Yeah, so when you finally got back to New York, you said you slept on the plane, which I've traveled with you a little bit now. You can sleep on planes, which I very much envy. I cannot do that.
No problem. I sleep on a plane. I take off. I fall asleep before we take off, and I typically don't wake up until the wheel's at the ground.
It's insane.
It jerks me awake.
I wish I had that. I'm going to call it a skill because it is.
So anyways, we're grinding through this podcast. My voice is shot. Everything's shot.
You were pretty good today. You got in at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. So yeah, I got back to my apartment about 6:15 a.m., cranked out a blog on the Uber back.
Woo!
So that I had one ready for 9:30.
Yep.
Went to sleep, woke up at like 9:30 to check, make sure there's nothing crazy happened that I missed, and then went through my routine. I was in around 10:15, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I was texting you about like, how are you going to be for the podcast? Are we still going to do it today, obviously? And you responded right away. You were ready to go, and it's just regular Wrigley today.
So we're back at it again tomorrow, for the record.
Yeah,
we're right out of town. We're going to Nolens.
Nolens, my first time.
I've never been either.
No way.
Yeah, never been.
That's gonna be a fun trip. We're going. So the Zurich Classic is down there this week.
Yep.
And we're going down there to shoot a little video with a couple PGA Tour players. Yes.
We are. We've partnered with our friends over at Chef's Cut Beef Jerky.
Yep.
Kyle Reefers, who's one of our guys now.
Yep.
One of our boys.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna be hanging out with him. We're gonna be hanging out with Beef. Like I said, Chef's Cut Beef Jerky, the most delicious beef jerky in the world. They make it high quality. We're going to be all over it. We're going to be eating it. We're going to be helping these guys learn how to be a team out there.
Yep, that's our plan. And since it's going to be a video, we need to be looking right. We need to be looking fresh. We need to be looking our best. No better people to help us in that than Dollar Shave Club.
That's right, Trent.
So my friend Riggsy has a great-looking beard right now. I don't know if that's a hockey deal. Are you doing a playoff beard or no?
You know, I'm just doing a Riggsy look sexier with a nice clean-cut beard look.
And it does look very sexy.
Thank you.
I'm trying to do some things. I tried to do some sort of goatee thing that's going on. I don't think I love it. But anyway.
I like it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But let me tell you why Dollar Shave Club is awesome. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store, buy a cheap disposal razor that gave you a cheap shave, or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech you don't need. And when I use my Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor with our Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, giving me such a smooth shave. Their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter is transparent for a more precise shave, helps prevent ingrown hairs, and fights razor bumps. You, too, can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. For a limited time, new members get their 1 month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price. There are no hidden fees and no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. Join Dollar Shave Club, join the club at dollarshave.com/4, F-O-R-E. That's dollarshaveclub/4, F-O-R-E.
The way that you said glide there was beautiful.
The way I said glide was good. It was very beautiful. Some of the other parts not so great, but it's a great company, great razors. Go get them.
Go get them. On to headlines.
Oh yes.
We're gonna start with dark and shitty and sad, and then move our way up from there. Tiger Woods, fourth back surgery.
Yeah. Does it feel like deja vu? Because that's what it feels like to me.
Feels like all of the haters and losers could chirp us now, and there's nothing we can say ever.
True story. When this came out, I was at the office. I believe it was Thursday. Tiger did not do his normal Friday news dump.
No, he did it on Thursday.
Kind of sucker punched me a little bit. Tiger, are we getting a rhythm here where you ruin my Fridays and that's how it works? Don't go ruining my Thursdays because then I feel like an asshole. But I'm sitting at my desk, news breaks, and I'm immediately looking for Big Cat because he's always chirping.
Always. And, you know, you just got to take it at this point.
And that's where the story is going. I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him to come out and see it. He sees it, and he yells, "Oh, Tiger will be back, Trent. Don't worry about it." And if anybody watches Stool Scenes, when Tex's brain just freezes when Big Cat's fucking with him, I had a Tex moment. And you just can't say anything anymore.
It's really not your fault, Trent. There's nothing we can say. There's no way we can really defend him. He hasn't played golf, really, in like 3 fucking years at this point. He's been injured nonstop. It's always something different / now it's just always his back, which is the worst case scenario.
Somebody compiled, and I'm forgetting who it was, so I apologize for that, compiled all of his statements where he comes out and says,
I'm on
his website, hey, I'm not playing, it's my back. They are pretty much identical. Obviously, the dates are changed a little bit. It's twitches in the wording, but it's all the same. My body is breaking down. I feel like this is my best course of action right now. My timetable to return is this and this and this. It's all the same.
So what do you got for your boy, Nota Begay, who a couple of weeks ago was like, yep, I'm in the Tiger camp. We're shooting for a U.S. Open. Which is basically in a little over a month.
This is why I don't understand Nota Begay and how he's still employed at the Golf Channel. Bet he's a nice guy, whatever. But these are the scoops he should be getting. Don't tell me. Don't feed me a lie. Because Nota Begay gets that.
Oh, he's feeding us.
He just feeds you and feeds you like the Wu-Tang clit. Or the clan clit. I just said,
I said
Wu-Tang clit.
All right.
I was trying to say clan and skit, and I got clit. But he keeps feeding us and feeding us and feeding us these lies. When he could come out and say this and just like, hey, by the way, Tiger's not looking great. Instead, he says he's looking really great and he's going to play in the U.S. Open. And then this comes out that he's already had his
You can't believe surgery. A fucking word that these Tiger Woods people say. I don't know why I keep, and I don't, but I kind of do every time.
Yeah.
Or at least I think that there's like something optimistic in their words. And they're just so full of shit all the time.
Always. You can't believe him. You're right, because I hear it and I'm like, I don't believe that, but you're still in the back of your head like, all right, that sounds fucking awesome. If we could just turn this thing around, everything's going to be fine. Let me ask you this.
Yep.
Since the future is looking so horrible right now, He could. I mean, he might just retire. If we're being honest, where do you, I've been seeing things about like, does this what he's going through now tarnish his past? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it won't, because golf is so much about longevity, and when you really rate and judge the careers of golfers, it gets back to the old, you know, whenever you're trying to argue who's the greatest of all time, are you arguing who played the greatest golf of all time, or are you arguing who had the greatest career of all time? In which case, the longer and longer he goes during these years where he's supposed to still be very competitive, and he can't even play, can't start for years and years on end, that's definitely tarnishing, you know, his career as a whole, because it's about longevity. It really is. You can never really argue, you know, if you've already made up your mind that he played the greatest golf of all time, mm-hmm. you know, in that stretch in 2000 where he won four majors in a row and all that, that's already done and that's done and sealed. But, you know, when you really try to get into, you know, how great was his career overall, when he's, you know, 39, 40, 41 years old and he can't even start when he should be competing and winning tournaments,
yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I sleep at night with he played the best golf. It's not necessarily how long, but we passed this point a long time ago. I'm not trying to kid myself, where the drop-off is very clear, where it was, you know, late 2009 or when 2009 when it happened, then it's just kind of, obviously at 2013 where he won five tournaments, but people are going to say whatever happened to him in those late 2000s fucked him up forever.
Yeah, and it just sucks because that, you know, 2008 U.S. Open, which is his last major now, that's going to be considered the ending point in a lot of people's mind, where after that it was all downhill.
Yeah, because we can bring up that he was PGA Tour Player of the Year 2013, but that doesn't matter. It's not a major. There's no majors there.
Guy only cares about winning majors. That's
it. It's hard to argue, oh, those wins mean something, when Tiger himself would say, all I give a shit about is majors.
Yeah, and so it's tough. It's sad. You know, I don't know how you can argue that now he's still going to come back. This one was the one that he was supposed to have done differently.
Yeah.
He took longer off.
Yep.
Everyone's like, oh, he's doing what he should. We really want to watch him play, but it's better for Tiger and for the future if he really takes his time. He took his time. Guy can't even fly to Dubai without ruining his back for a year.
You remember, think back, how great, Hero World Challenge.
Oh.
He shot a 65, I believe, on Friday. It's like, holy shit, holy shit. And now we're back to square negative 300.
We haven't had a positive thing to talk about since we launched this podcast related to Tiger Woods.
No. And selfishly, we were selling a shit ton of Tiger shirts.
A lot of Tiger shirts. Those shirts went from the hottest item in the street to just like, I had people being like, is there any way to to edit these shirts to say something else or reveal somebody else?
Our guy, so one of my first interactions with T-shirt Chip was when I first got out here, we started selling those Tiger shirts. I might not even have been out here yet. I don't know. But he was like, these shirts they're flying off the shelf. We have this bonus system, blah, blah, blah. You're going to hit that, no problem.
Yep.
And now our line of thinking was, as long as he plays, we can keep pumping these bad boys. He's been dead ever since.
Yeah, that really hurt our T-shirt merch business. So I hope Tiger comes back soon so we can sell some more shirts.
Ugh.
On to, let's talk about a little Lydia Ko.
Okay.
So it's her 20th birthday today, I saw.
Happy birthday.
Monday is when we're recording this. So, she's had some serious caddy issues. And, you know, we don't always get into the women's game.
No.
But I've said a million times, any good storyline, any situation you've got in golf where they're playing for something that really matters and all of that, I'm always interested in. I've watched many, many, many women's golf tournaments in my life. Lydia Ko's number one player in the world she's been a number one player in the world for a long time at different points for someone that's only 20 years old now.
Yep.
Anyways, she's on her 10th caddy.
It's insane.
10th caddy as a professional.
She's 20.
That is just stunning.
What is that? I got to be honest. I haven't read up a bunch about it, but she's just like, I don't understand.
Is it at some point, it's like, it's her? Is that she's just kind of like,
it has
people
to
don't like her? She doesn't get along well with people or what?
It has. I mean, it's probably a little bit of both, but she's the one who decides. She gets to ship these fuckers off.
Then you got to wonder, you know, is there like family connection or camp stuff where everyone's been like, no, you're 18, 19 years old. We'll make the decision. We don't like your caddy. Or is it all her? Like, is she that mature? Because I think she's always come off like one of those people, one of those young athletes that's like 17, but really like 30.
Yeah, I feel that way. I think it's all her. She's She's a winner. She knows what she wants, and she knows what she doesn't want, and she's just shipping these people out if she doesn't like them.
I mean, she's got 2 majors, 14 LPGA Tour wins. She just turned 20. What the fuck?
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I wish I could, you know, hear what the logic is behind why she's shipping in caddies like this.
So this guy, Peter Godfrey, was voted 2017 Caddy of the Year by his LPGA peers at the HSBC Women's Champions back in March. So this guy's supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Supposed to be very legit. Again, it's her 10th caddy. So I really don't know how, I don't know. I don't know how you go through 10 at that young of an age. This guy's supposed to be great. So Lydia Ko, maybe lock in and, I don't know, hone in on a caddy.
But at the same time, whatever she's been doing, it's been working.
Yeah, it is hard to argue with those numbers.
She should, you know what she should do? Go no caddy. Just go no caddy.
I've always wondered, like, what if she just says, no, I'm going to carry my own bag.
No, I'm going to strap this fucker to my back, and I'm going to win these things by myself. I don't have to give you 10% of anything.
I don't hate the idea of her having struggles, because that opens the door for my girl, Brooke Henderson.
You love Brooke Henderson.
Love Brooke Henderson. She's one of my favorites. So that was talking a little women's golf.
Yeah.
Hopefully Lydia Ko and her caddy situation stabilizes.
No. I hope she keeps firing caddies.
Okay. So Trent wants him. I don't really know what I want, to be honest with you. That's just a staggering number. 10 is unbelievable.
True.
Figure it out.
True.
Real quick, we got our boy Ricky Fowler allegedly dating Allison Stoke.
Oh, my guy Ricky Fowler, who I talked all week. I waxed poetic about how he's the smartest guy in the world because he's single and all those other guys are hitched. And then he comes out yesterday and they each tweeted a picture of each other being like, oh, we're hanging out together, blah, 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 which to me is that it means they're together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you post those types of pictures and there's not something going on. I don't think they explicitly said anything, but like, we're smut business.
Yeah.
We see those pictures, we know what's
going
on.
We make assumptions.
We know what's
and they're usually right.
We know what to assume, and we're mostly right.
So the only saving grace for me from last week is that I don't think she was on the spring break trip. I don't know how new this is, but he was definitely, maybe, probably alone on the spring break trip.
Savage move if he was dating her at the time and still able to get away with putting that kind of picture out. Like, hey, I'm still looking. She couldn't have been happy about that.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And also, it might be worse having a girlfriend and having her not on the trip with you because then you're just on your phone the whole time.
Yeah, true.
Like he might have been.
That does stink.
It stinks. He might have been worse off than the other guys who had their girls there. Then they're having some sex.
Like checking in via a trip with your girl is the worst.
Like I'm at dinner. I don't want to take a phone call right now. She's
what are you having?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck what I'm at dinner. Dinner's just a very abstract term.
I didn't know you were gonna be at dinner. The time zones are so different. I thought you might be just laying around. Like no, I'm at dinner.
What are you guys going to do after? Are you excited for tonight? Shut up. Just let me do my own night. So, yeah, that might have been even worse. But she's an all-timer. I mean, we looked back. She's from 2007 is when she went viral.
So Dave actually blogged it because he was so excited about it that he just threw up a blog. I just didn't even know who this chick was. Did you know who it was?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I knew just because the one picture, her famous viral pole vault picture. Like, how often do you see a really hot pole vaulter?
Almost never. The first thing that came to my mind, you know the girl who was warming up at the Olympics, bouncing around, doing all that? That's who I thought it was at first.
Mm.
And then, Dave was like, it's from 2007. I'm like, I don't remember her at all.
Strong staying power if she's still around for just being the viral pole vault girl, and now she's around 10 years later with Ricky Fowler.
I will say this. Our boy Ricky Fowler has a type.
Yeah,
he does. Look at his last girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
They are very, very similar looking.
Ricky knows what he's doing.
I don't hate it. Like, nope. Bomb brunettes.
Yep. Yeah. He likes really hot brunettes. Sweet.
All I'm saying is I look kind of dumb after, you know, being like, oh, my boy Ricky. And then he was spotted with Justin Bieber early in the week.
Yeah. I mean, Ricky, you know, Ricky's out there.
Maybe he's just out there.
He's marketing himself. He knows what to do. We'll see how it ends up. USGA and RNA announced they're going to roll out a rules change tomorrow.
Do we know what it's going to be?
So the Golf Channel wrote, and I'm quoting the Golf Channel. I'm sourcing, crediting the Golf Channel.
Nice.
Shout out to me for doing that. Very professional. They wrote, quote, the USGA and RNA will make an announcement Tuesday in the wake of the rules controversy that marred the A&A inspiration earlier this month.
Okay, so it's a Lexi Thompson thing.
So, I mean, the best thing you can assume from there is that it's related to the Lexi Thompson TV, marking your ball a millimeter off.
I hope the
situation.
I hope the press release just says, "Hey, you fucking loser, stop calling in and you know doing rules violations. Get a fucking life.
We're not accepting your emails or phone calls anymore."
Yeah, yeah, send them in, and we're just gonna print them out and throw them in the trash.
So yeah, when this, basically, when most people listen to this, I imagine the rule will already have been out,
right?
Or the rules or whatever they're changing. I also, I don't know if this is gonna be related at all to the set of kind of relaxed rules they released, what had to be, what, a month or so ago? Maybe a couple months now?
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to be tied to that at all.
I think it's going to be very specific. Something in the Lexi Thompson thing, and they're going to be like, well, this has changed forever now. It could be anything. So many things went wrong during the Lexi Thompson thing that it could be a whole list of things.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, my guess is it's going to be something that's like cases closed at the end of the day. You can't call in the next day and be like, you get penalized for Saturday's round on Sunday.
Or let's do this. When you sign a card that you at the time thought was correct, you can't then be penalized when something comes out of the woodwork. Then obviously you would not have signed that card.
Right.
Something
that's,
like that.
That's a ridiculous. Both of those are ridiculous that those could exist. And they existed simultaneously and cost her four strokes. So
ridiculous.
Hopefully they're changing something along those lines. Keep your eyes peeled for that. You'll probably already know it as you're hearing me say it. Next, we got an interview, a little sit-down, a little chat with our boy, Uncle Chaps.
Chapsy.
Everybody enjoy this little chat with Chaps. This chat with our boy, Uncle Chaps, is brought to you by our friends at Blue Apron. You might have heard of cooking with Chaps. Well, now you can cook on your own. You can do it with Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the entire country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. They sent me a box recently, a couple weeks ago, right to my apartment. My roommates were there, actually. I was not. They opened it up. I started going through it like, Riggsy, what the hell is this? Where'd you get all this good stuff? It's from Blue Apron. It's easy to cook. It's fun to cook. It's really, really fresh and high-quality ingredients. You can only get it from our friends at Blue Apron. Not all ingredients are created equal, as you know. Everybody knows. Trent and I know. Chaps knows. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. It's very important to know where your food comes from. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You choose from a variety of new recipes every single week. You customize your recipes each week as well based on your own preferences. Each meal comes with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients. As we've mentioned, Trent and I are traveling all the time.
Yep.
We're going to be in New Orleans. I was just in Vegas. We were in Augusta. We've been down to TBC. We're traveling all over the place. You don't have time to shop. So, boom, you just set up an account with Blue Apron, and they will deliver all the food right to your place. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. That's right, three meals free with free shipping by just going to blueapron.com/foreplay. That's blueapron.com/foreplay. You're going to love how good it feels, tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so do not wait. That's blueapron.com/foreplay. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. All right, next we are joined by our good friend, Uncle Chaps. Chapsy is recently getting back into the golf world. Spent a little time at the Valero Texas Open this week. What's up, Chapsy?
Hey, fellas. Thank you for inviting me on your golf podcast.
Well, you're becoming like a golf guy now.
I am becoming a little bit more of a golf guy, and it feels damn good. It does.
So the story was you played when you were in the military, you played a bunch and then gave it up afterwards, and now you're getting back into it.
Yeah. So my old boss, when I was in the Marines after I came back from deployment, he knew I was scheduled to transfer in like 6 weeks. He's like, there's no reason for you to really stick around. You had a rough deployment. Why don't you just go play golf every day? I was like, all right. So every day, like he would call. I had to call him from the golf course to tell him that's where I was. It was my appointed place of duty. They got me like the rounds were free. I didn't have to pay. It was like every day I had to tee off at 8 o'clock. It was amazing.
It's well deserved too, Chaps. You deserved it. Did you? So in this time, did you like get better at golf?
Yeah, I did. I got down to where I was probably shooting mid-80s pretty consistently.
Pretty damn
good.
It was a
pretty decent course. Yeah, I was all right. But
and you always
I'm not there now.
You're always playing by yourself when you're doing that?
Yeah, either by myself or with like the old dudes, because especially in Okinawa, you'd have older Marines or older Air Force guys that would retire and stick around the area. So they were always there in like their 70s and just putting around just like you would expect old vets to do, just like hanging out, smoking, ripping cigs and slugging beers at like 8 o'clock.
I was just going to say, I feel like military base golf course vibe is way different than most golf course vibes.
I think it's pretty similar. Well, I think it's shitty golf courses and military golf courses would have a lot in common. Where it's not going to be like a Pebble Beach where you're dropping $500 around, you're going to take it pretty seriously. But if you're going to a municipal course where you're dropping $30-$40 for the round, you're going to slug some beers.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. So,
what are your strengths and weaknesses when you're good? What are you good at and what are you bad at?
When I'm playing well, I'm good with a 3-wood off the ground in the fairway. Like, that's probably my best shot.
That is stunning, because that's, for most people, really fucking hard, I feel like.
Definitely.
To, like, pick one clean with a fairway off the ground, fairway wood.
And it's just been something that I've always been kind of good at. Didn't even really need to practice it. It was just kind of how I drew it up, I guess, how it worked out for me. And then I'm pretty decent with a pitching wedge inside 100 yards. I feel like I can do pretty good there, too.
So the wifey got you back. What was it, for like an anniversary present that you got a little golf membership?
Yeah, I've been talking about it for a while that I wanted to get back into it. And so for Valentine's Day, there's a little cheap course here in San Antonio that if you buy 20 rounds, it comes out to about $10 a round. So you buy 20 rounds and it's like $220 or something like that. And you can go and break it up where you only play 9. So really your 200 goes to 40 rounds of 9 holes.
That's fantastic. So what is kind of the thoughts and struggles and venting that Chaps wants to do as a guy that's like getting back into golf, playing now, things that you maybe forgot about, shit like that?
Well, it's hard because you want to try to teach yourself, you know, and you're out there just fucking around when you're a dude like me that's just basically hacking, try to get yourself into it.
Right.
And I'll find like certain things that I'm doing wrong by watching like a video on YouTube. Like for the longest time, I was gripping way too tight and holding the face open at the top of my swing instead of blading it at the top of my swing and coming down more naturally. And once I fixed that, that fixed a lot of issues. But then like this weekend when I went out and played the nice course, I feel like I'm going to do well. And then I get home and I watch that video and I'm like, fuck, I wish I would have watched that video out there because I could see why I was hitting everything right. I wasn't moving my back foot at all. So it's like it's some things that you don't realize that you're not doing. You're like going through all the motions in your head and you're like, why would I not pivot at all? And that's what I saw when I looked at the Instagram. Somebody's like, his feet are exactly in the same place they were when he swung. And I was like, they are. And that's probably why my ball was 20 yards to the right.
The old rabbit hole of going down and looking at YouTube videos of good people swinging golf clubs and then being like, oh, I can just do that, and then going and trying to do it, is it could be a deep, dark place because it looks so fucking easy when they do it.
Yes. And another thing that I struggle with is not smashing my clubs into the fucking ground every time I hit a bad shot. And I want to do that with the driver all the time. I've never, ever been good with the driver. Never.
I broke a driver doing that once. I was way more firm outside than I thought it was. And usually, like, you can just slam, you know, you can slam a club down after you hit a shitty shot. And it's, like, soft and it's not a big deal. You just have to clean the mud off it afterwards.
Yeah.
Super firm, slam the driver, the head and the shaft. The shaft broke in half and the head went, like, flying, like, 50 yards, bouncing down the fairway and the cart path. It was very embarrassing.
I'm shocked to hear that Chaps is kind of a hothead. I think of you as a calm, cool, collected customer, but on the golf course, it changes.
It's just those moments. I guess it's like a buildup process. If I hit like 4 or 5 bad drives in a row where I feel like I should hit a good one or I really want to, like it's a really ripe par 5, you know, where you want to have at least one birdie in the round where I feel like it's wide open and I'm like, okay, I'm going to smoke this one. And then it's just terrible. you're losing your ball. You're like, fuck, man. So then you just got to smash something.
See, that's exactly how I feel. If I'm like just playing shitty all day, then when I hit a shitty drive, it doesn't really matter. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, of course I hit a shitty shot. Like, I stink today. But when you stand over it and you're like, you've got all the good swing thoughts. And you're like, oh, I'm going to rip this one. And then you just hit a dog shit drive. It is so fucking frustrating. It's like the worst thing in the world.
And I get like the yips about it too, especially like when I'm in the tee box where I don't know if you guys do this. This is going to make for great radio, where I lift my hands and it's like I'm at the top of my swing and I can feel it's not right in my hands, you know? So like I'll do like a little mid swing adjustment of my hands.
Never
and
good.
That's always a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea, but I can't stop it. I'm like Chuck Knobloch where I can't even fucking throw to second anymore. Like I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I still got to do it.
Oh yeah. That's one of the worst moments. You just know you're almost right up to the top. You're like, oh, this is not good so far. This is really not good.
That's usually when the slamming happens because I'm like, why did you adjust, you dumb bitch? Like, why did you do it?
You dumb bitch, he says.
So you have too. This is what I'm really, really jealous about is, I don't know if you guys know this, but Chaps has like a net and like a golf practice set up in his garage.
I've seen some videos on Instagram of that. That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, so I have some confessions to make about that. The simulator kind of sucks. Like, and it's not because it doesn't work well, like it works fine, but I don't want to go through all the things of like pushing all kinds of buttons when I'm out there. And like, if you could just go out there and grip it and rip it like over and over again, like you do at like a Topgolf place or the place that you filmed at, Riggs, where the ball just pops back up.
Oh yeah. That's like, the old Chelsea Pier driving range.
Yeah. That's fun. But going back and being like, okay, I'm putting, but I'm not really putting because I'm playing a computer. I don't want to do that. I just want to, if I'm playing in my garage, I either hit primarily the 5-iron, the 4-iron, the 3-wood, or the driver. I'm not really hitting anything else.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of, you get excited like, oh, I'm going to play a round of golf. And it's like, no, this isn't golf. Like, I should just be whacking something against the wall is basically all I want to be doing.
Yeah, I would treat it more just like a driving range. You just, you just hit a bunch of balls and you don't have to worry about putting. Putting seems like a disaster.
But and it's stupid. Like, it makes no sense. Like, because you don't know if you can't read anything. You're just basically swinging the putter for no reason. It's dumb. But I do like having the net out there just because you get, like, the 100 swings a day. Like, the old adage of doing 100 swings a day.
Yeah.
So I've been, when I blog, like, during the week, I'll write a blog. And I'll go out there and hit, like, 25 balls. Then I'll come in, look for the next thing I'm going to write about, go back out, hit, like, 25 balls. And it's a nice little relaxing thing.
Yeah, Chaps and I talked about that a couple months ago during one of his visits, where I think it was Hank Haney, and he's big on Twitter, and he kept, every winter I'm like, get very hungry for just golf information and shit that I think could help my swing, because you can't actually go out and play golf in the Northeast. And the thing he always would say is you just got to go take 100 swings a day. He would say even do it like in your living room without a ball, just take 100 swings a day, because it's all about your muscle memory. And Chaps put that into practice. It was like, oh, Riggsy, I'm fucking doing 100 swings a day.
And it's good, man. I've been able to tell a big difference from when I first started to now, like how much more natural my swing feels and looks when I remember to move my back foot. I should say that as a caveat. When I remember to move my back foot, swing feels a lot better.
Yeah, we got to get you going on the back foot. But other than that, I mean, I think your action, you know, I think you're coming along, chap. So
I'll do it for the blog. Whenever you guys write a blog, I'll do an updated swing because I worked on that yesterday. I did probably about 500 swings yesterday.
Woo!
Was working on the back foot.
So no, none of the higher ups are going to listen to this. How often are you getting out during the week? Do you write a couple blogs, get out there, and then come back, or how does that work?
So Friday is usually my day on the course. So what I try to do is, because I know I'm going to have my Zero Block 30 blog. That's my first blog of the day because that's when that comes out. And then I'll have another one. Check it out. So usually I can be back at my house by like noon if I go first thing in the morning. So I have two blogs written back and nobody even knows I'm gone. It's perfect.
Oh, that is nice.
God.
I used to do that when I lived in Boston too, but in New York, it's impossible. Okay, so Chaps, our resident Texas guy, down at the Valero Texas Open this week. What days were you there, Chaps?
I was there Friday and Saturday.
So had you ever been to a PGA Tour event before?
Yeah, Sawgrass.
Because I grew up
in Jacksonville, so we went. I think I was probably 13 or 14, I went to watch a demonstration that Tiger Woods did for the vets. And he was just lacing fucking drives down one of the fairways. I don't remember what it was, but I just remember being 13. And if I could hit a ball over like 150 yards, I thought I was a man at that point. And then I remember him coming out, and he was, that's when like peak Tiger was hitting like 330, 340 smooth down the fairway.
Yeah, that's when Tiger used to be sweet. RIP to that days. Man. That was really, that used to be fun.
Probably what happened to his back.
Yeah, that could probably be. Didn't help. So Valero, Texas Open this week. How'd it go? What'd you think? Did you have a good time?
It's a beautiful course. Like it's, but it's a fucked up course. Whoever designed that course is a mean person. Like,
explain.
When I first, I thought it was a joke when people said that there was a sand trap in the middle of the green. And then I went out there. I was like, what? It looks like a mini golf course, like inside the TPC. It makes no sense at all. Yeah. People were chipping from on the green.
My favorite was we're getting text updates from Chaps throughout the weekend while I was at the event. He just texts and goes, whoever put a bunker in the middle of the green's a real asshole.
It is. It's because, you know, like me, I'm not aiming for flagstick. Anytime I'm approaching the green, I'm just aiming for the middle of the green. I don't care about where the flag is or anything. I'm just trying to get on the green from anywhere. I'm not like, oh, it's a little bit closer, a little further away. Nope, just dead on middle of the green so I could stay on the green. That's my goal. If you put a bunker in the middle of it and I didn't realize that that's what was happening and I smoked a shot and it was like right in the middle and I went up and I was buried in the sand, I might kill someone that worked at that. It'd be a lot more than slamming.
It really ruins your plan when you're aiming for the middle of the green. There's a giant bunker in the middle of it.
I forget who it was, but the look of defeat of the dude who landed like 2 feet outside of the bunker when he had to pull out his little sand wedge to chip it on the green. He just looked so ill about it. It was perfect. And I was standing like so close, and he's just like, what the fuck is this? To his caddy, he's like, what are we going to do? Am I going to have to three putt? Like,
so what's the vibe down there? Like, what was the crowd's like rowdy? I mean, we've never been to the Valero, Texas. What was the scene like?
It wasn't really a whole lot of people paying attention to the golf, honestly. Like, it was people just drinking and hanging out. Like, because I kind of stayed around 17, 18 a majority of the time. There's this, they're really big on veterans at the tournament. If you're a veteran, retired, active, whatever, you just have to show a little form of ID and you can get into the tournament for free all 4 days. So they treat you pretty well. And there's a lot of That's tents fantastic. There that if you have that ID, that they give you free drinks, free food, free everything. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, wow.
So it's really cool.
It's basically sounds like the exact opposite of what it was like at Augusta, where they just take phones out of your hands and you have no other option but to watch the golf.
Oh, no, it was not that at all. You could do whatever you want to. You could take video. I was like, can I film here? They're like, dude, we don't give a fuck with you.
did you meet our pal Jeff Flagg?
I did. I met Jeff. He's a good dude, man. He's tall and handsome, too. It's kind of fucked up that he can hit the ball like as far as he does.
Yep.
And he's like 6'4", in really good shape and handsome. Kind of fucked up.
Yeah, we met him at the World Long Drive Champion. If you don't know who Jeff Flagg is, he was in that video. Big stoolie. And the only thing we had over on him is that he lost when we were down there, and we played in the Pro-Am with him. But other than that, he is a tall, handsome gentleman.
Yeah, he really is, and it's really annoying when you play golf with him because you're like, this guy's really tall, he's very handsome, and he kills the golf ball like 150 yards further than I hit the golf ball. So you kind of hate him. You want to hate him, basically.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking because he was like, we should play sometime. I'm like, yeah, right, dude. Like, I'm going to crush one and be like 260 down the fairway, and then you come over the top like 200 yards on me. Like, no chance. I'm not fucking taking three more swings with my pants down.
Right.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah, and you can't even get any cool like golf photos of, like me and the boys out there because he looks like Jeff Flagg. And you're like, well, fuck Jeff Flagg.
Yeah, he wanted to do a picture. I pulled a Portnoy and was standing on my tippy toes. I'm not going to allow that.
That's it. He was a champ too, wasn't he? Like 2014?
2014.
Yeah,
I think
he had the
won.
Belt out there. He had
the belt is great.
Yeah.
That is like such a cool thing in the golf world that they just have basically a Robbie Fox style WWE like championship belt for whoever hits it the farthest.
Love it. More belts the better, I think.
Yeah, belts are great. All right, Chapsy, anything else you got from the tournament or golf thoughts?
No, we had talked about something at one point that we need to do more wild rules. I want to hear like some from your listeners. I want to hear like the wild shit that they do. Like if you, like for instance, me and my buddies, what I was talking about when we played in Okinawa, whoever got out driven on like three or four of the holes, we would pick like the par fives. If you got out drove, then you're next until you pass the guy who drove you. You have to have your pants around your ankles, that type of thing.
Wow. Okay. So, like, yeah, we've had quite a few people send them in. They've kind of slowed down, I feel like, lately.
We haven't, yeah, we haven't been asking for them as much because right at the beginning we asked for a bunch of them. They were good ones, though.
We had some really good ones right out of the gate. Obviously, the animal thing was kind of turned out to be horrifying, but funny.
Shotgun Mulligan was a big one.
Yeah, the Shotgun Mulligan. We've been getting some more of those Instagrams coming in now that it's golf season. But yeah, if you're out there, send shit to us, forwardplay@barstoolsports.com. Send us your cool stories and tales because chaps like to hear them.
And we also used to be able to pick a vice for the guy who lost for the entire next round. So, like, for instance, if all four of us went out there and we played and I lost, and you know I don't dip, you could make me dip for the entire time that we were on the course. The next
no,
time.
Wow.
Or you had to smoke a cigarette before every single hole. And, like, whatever vice it was, it would, like, some people would really fuck them up.
See, that is brutal. Because, like,
if you make me dip for, I'd probably just walk off the course and be puking my fucking guts out.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Or if, like, I don't think I've ever smoked a cigarette. If you made me rip darts on the, like, I would, like, die.
You've never smoked a cigarette?
Never.
Imagine never smoking a cigarette, and here comes the cart girl. And you're, like, just ripping cigs and coughing all over.
I was just going to say, I'd be, like, coughing up a storm, smoke coming to my ears, like, just a train wreck.
Yeah, can I get a Mick Ultra?
Yeah. I like that one a lot. Oh, man. Bad
I think
vices.
That vice one might be my favorite one. It's top three for me. People are going to do that. People will use that one.
We got to get some people out there just doing vicey, stupid shit they've never done before and ruining their entire day while trying to golf with their buddies.
Do you have any, like, what other vices could there be? You got smoking, you got dipping, you could make them drink some weird shit, I guess.
Yeah, I think those are pretty much the three, like smoking, dipping, and drinking.
Yeah.
That you could really get somebody. I mean, if you don't dip and somebody and you have to dip for 18 holes.
Oh, that would fuck your world up. You wouldn't be able to make it. Trent's right. You would last like a couple holes. You'd be
dead. And it was just like, it wasn't the big, like, it, obviously you couldn't do like a chaw dog. So they just had like, you know, the little pouches, the little skull pouch. You just had to have one of those just lipping it out.
I have tried the tiniest pouches you can buy on the market and I still get to the spins and feel like I'm going to puke. I have a very low.
It's a terrible feeling. That feeling is awful.
It's hard to describe. And the buzz when you right at the beginning is awesome. You're like, this, if I could have this feeling forever, that would be great. But then you start to feel like you're going to throw up and you can't like contain it.
So I grew up in like a super conservative like Christian house, and I didn't smoke or drink or anything like that. I was probably 17 the first time I ever tried to do chewing tobacco. And I had a huge wad because I was hanging out like at this rodeo place. And they're like, hey, you want to try this? I was like, sure. So I took this huge lipper, dude, and it was like my whole cheek that looked like Lenny Dykstra. And I was sitting on this fence, like swaying back and forth for like 5 minutes. And then I finally just ate it, like straight over backwards. I'm lucky that it wasn't like Old Row Sports or Barstool at the time because I definitely would have been featured on that fucker.
Yeah, dip messes you up.
It does.
Oh, imagine golf. You would. I mean, you'd have no chance. You wouldn't be able to swing a club.
No, especially after a few drinks. You'd be. I mean, a few drinks with them, throw a dip in. Nope.
You'd be all viced up. All right, chaps. I think that we cannot let you go until we get an ad read from you.
Okay. That episode with Foreplay with me. Your boy, Uncle Chaps, host of Zero Block 30 podcast as well. Download, subscribe, and review. Guys, if you aren't already using Chip Sticks when you travel for your golf tips, you're starting your round a couple over. You've probably seen their ads on the Golf Channel and CNBC. Chip Sticks picks up your clubs from your house, the golf course, the office, or hotel, whatever's the most convenient, and delivers them directly to wherever you're staying or playing. Instead of lugging them to and from the airport and wasting your time at the baggage claim, use Chip Sticks to ship them ahead of time, and your clubs will be there waiting for you. As the largest golf bag shipping company in the world, their prices are the lowest, starting at just $39.99, which by itself is cheaper than most airline checked bag fees. Spoiler alert, they're a lot cheaper than that.
Way cheaper.
Pretty great combo. You can eliminate the hassle of traveling with your clubs while saving time and money. All you have to do is go to shipsticks.com. That's, here's a Zero Block 30 moment. We're going to do a phonetic alphabet. Sierra, Hotel, India, Papa, Sierra, Tango, India, Charlie, Kilo, Sierra.com. Click ship now and you'll be able your hassle-free golf trip. Use a promo code Barstool. That's Bravo, Alpha, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Oscar, Lima for 10% off your next shipment. Once again, that's ShipStix.com. Promo code Barso for 10% off your next shipment. Thanks for having me, fellas. Love talking golf.
That was electric.
I love Uncle Chaps.
Good stuff, Chapsy. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, and download, rate, subscribe, Zero Blog 30.
Yeah, everybody go check out Zero Blog 30. Comes out Fridays with Captain Cons, Chaps. I'm occasionally on it as the citizen correspondent. Great show. Yeah, check it out.
This week we'll have Representative Rooney, who is a Republican on the House of Representatives Intelligence Committee.
Ooh, okay.
Boom.
He's the one leading the investigation into Russia now.
So you can learn all about it. Check him out. Zero Blog 30 Fridays. Chapsy, you're the man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, fellas.
See ya.
Thanks, Chapsy.
And that was another fantastic ad read from our boy Uncle Chaps.
I don't want to make fun of Chaps because my ad reads are bad, but his I love them. They make me so happy.
They do. They just really bring a massive smile to your face just reading his ad reads.
And I know people at home can't do this, but watching him, the delight in his eyes as he's reading those ads is childlike wonder.
Yeah, really good. Great little plug for our boys at ShipStix. I actually used them in Vegas.
Look at that.
This week. It's just super easy. I can't explain to you how much better it is to have ShipStix just send them right to the course.
Yeah, we had a couple people reach out to us on Twitter like, this is unbelievable. Yeah, now we don't have to pay these bag fees.
I played on Friday, and I didn't have to pay the bag fees. I have to drag them all the way to the course. You just ShipStix. By the way, use the promo code Barstool, ShipStix.com. They're great. Love you guys at ShipStix. Thank you, Chapsy, for reading that. Nice little From the Gallery plug there by Chaps as well.
Yeah, it was so good, we're not even going to do another one. So if you have any vices or anything, that's the thing Chaps loves. If you have any rules that you and your boys do, we kind of did this stuff at the beginning when the podcast first started. We're going to do them again because golf season's starting to roll around. If you got any rules, you know, types of fun things to do with your guys, just send them in.
Yep, send them to us, foreplay@barstoolsports.com. Tweet us, Instagram us, we're @foreplaypod, all that good stuff. On to the Zurich Classic, like we said.
Before we get to that,
yep,
we got a lot of responses on our driver giveaway.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Tons of those.
Can't rob the people of their free driver.
No, we promised that we were going to give out a driver, and we're going to do that. We got countless responses, countless good ones. We are going to do a little bit of an announcement video later in the week.
Yep.
For the driver. I think we're going to take our top five, kind of work through them, single out one of them, and then send that guy a driver.
Thank you to everyone for sending those in. We got a lot of screenshots, a lot of nice comments. You people are very lovely for giving us all of those 5-star reviews.
Yes, shout out to Cobra for putting on the giveaway.
Yep, Cobra, the driver that looks like a guitar. It's got the persimmon wood finish, the Cobra King F7. Somebody's winning a free one. Keep your eyes peeled. Eyes peeled, is that the right phrase?
Yep, keep your eyes peeled.
I was going to say keep your eyes tuned.
Your eye stuff, you just can't even get the cliches right.
Nah, I got a lot of shit going on. Anyways, Zurich Classic, Trent. We're going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Quick stop for us. One day in Nolens.
Very quick stop, but a very cool event. There are a lot of buzz around this event, and I'm hoping people are taking notice. People on the PGA Tour who make events, make more team events. I saw some shit talking going back and forth between some of the groups. That's how awesome this is going to be.
See, this is just such a no-brainer.
Yeah.
To switch your event from a stroke play, you know, run-of-the-mill, this is what everybody does every single weekend on the PGA Tour, to... Oh, wow. Now there's a ton of buzz because you made it something different, like a team event.
And
shocking.
It's more fun. Let me give you some of these groups. These are like the main groups that popped out to me. This is going to be a fun-ass time. Jason Day, Ricky Fowler. That's a group. Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson. Another one. Jordan Spieth and our guy Ryan Palmer. I like that group a lot, actually. Bubba Watson, J.B. Holmes. Kind of puke, but still cool. Stephen Bowditch and Boo Wickley. You love Bowditch.
Bodo. Love that guy.
Smiley Kaufman and Harold Varner III. That's a fun one.
Yep, that is a fun one.
And I don't know why I put this one on my list. I'm kind of mad. Bryson DeChambeau and Rory Sabatini. But still.
Oh, that's just the group that we're going to hate.
Yeah, that's why I put it on.
Yep.
That's why. But I saw people, Jason Day and Ricky Fowler, talking shit to Boo Weekly and Stephen Bowditch on Twitter. You don't get that at any other event.
No, you never get that. Just to clarify so everyone understands the format for the week, the top 35 teams and ties make the weekend. Its alternate shot is going to be used for the first and third rounds, while best ball will be used in the second and fourth rounds, as well as if there's a sudden death playoff. It's the first official PGA Tour event to use a team format since 1981.
Shocking.
Yeah, which is crazy.
And it just inherently, it's going to lead to awesome moments between players. You know what I mean? Like, golf is so individual that, yeah, you get a fist bump here and there, maybe a high five to a caddy. But you got Jason Day and Ricky Fowler playing well together. They're going to be chest bumping. They're going to be high fiving. That's going to be so many just good visuals for the tournament itself.
Yeah, you're going to get all that camaraderie, which you never get. You're going to get really weird, shitty golf high fives.
Of course.
Which are some of our favorite things in media.
Yep.
Or in the game. Usually it's between player and caddy. But this time it's going to be between player and player.
I'll see how you feel about this. I think we're going to get a bad high five between Smiley Kaufman and Harold Varner III.
Definitely. I couldn't agree more.
There's going to be some miscommunication there.
Yeah. I mean, and there's going to be those throughout. There's going to be, we got some weird teams too. We got Spieth and Ryan Palmer.
Our guy. Couple of Texans.
He told us on the podcast that he plays his Tuesday practice rounds with Spieth all the time. I don't know if we believed him. We were like, okay, Ryan Palmer, whatever you say, buddy.
There was a moment where he was like, where we were like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. And then here they are playing together at the Zurich Classic.
Couple Texas guys out there playing together.
This one, for some reason, I didn't put this on there. Hideki Matsuyama and, I'm going to butcher this.
Tanahara. I saw that as well. So here's what you're going to get out of that, too, is you're going to get, like, the entire country of Japan is rallying around those two guys.
Right.
Like, that's all they care about in Japan this week is the Zurich Classic over in the U.S. because they got their boys teaming up together.
We got Brooks Koepka and Chase Koepka playing together. That's kind of interesting there.
Yeah, so, I also saw Brandon Grace, Louis Oosthuizen. That's another South African guys, another little countryman jumping in together.
So I purposely left out three of these groups because we were going to pick three groups each.
Okay.
I've got three groups that we have not mentioned yet that I like, and they're good groups with good names in them.
Hit me.
Okay, my first one is Daniel Berger and Thomas Peters.
Wow. A
couple of young guns.
Young studs.
Little USA, Belgium coming together.
Yeah. Yeah, I always wonder how those types of relationships come together.
Yeah, like what
is
do...
Is that like via agents or those guys like boys that you would never guess?
Are Daniel Berger and Thomas Peters just buds?
Then maybe they're just boys. Maybe they're just hanging.
I would drink a lot of beers with Berger and Peters.
Yeah, that'd be a great time.
That'd be a great. Now, what's one of your groups?
So, I gotta focus. You know, we talk about the fun teams that you really want to watch because they're cool guys. A power team is Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson.
It's a good one.
And those guys, they've been warriors in Ryder Cups past. So I think they're gonna be really fun to watch.
Henrik Stenson is the type of guy where if you're on his team, you just feel like everything's okay.
Yeah.
He just kind of gives off that vibe.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see Rosie, how he plays after coming off the Masters playoff loss.
Yep.
All that. So I like that little Euro squad.
Okay, coming back to me. A couple of veterans here, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly.
Wow.
I like that group.
Strick. I do like just because Strick plays like, I feel like he plays like four times a year. And when he does, it's, you know, he's always like up there in the mix. So,
and I followed Jerry Kelly around at the John Deere Classic a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Just seems like an awesome dude.
He is he's a great dude.
Ripping it up with the crowd.
He's a former hockey guy.
You know what? I did not know that, but I could have told you that.
Of course he's a cool guy, Trent.
I like hockey
Us
guys.
Us hockey guys are cool guys.
Let's go Rangers.
Let's go Blues. Huge Blues fan. Trent's recent Rangers fan for like a week.
Die hard.
LGR for you.
Hey, I touched the cup, and now they're advancing past the first round. I don't know what else you want from me.
Yeah, also, shout out for me to the Chicago Blackhawks who got swept, and they can suck it.
I think you did that by yourself, because you touched the cup when it was in here.
Yeah, I touched the cup. So the Blues have never lost a playoff series since I touched the cup for the first time. Chicago Blackhawks have never won an ice hockey game since I touched the cup for the first time.
Yeah, that's just science.
So the guys that we're going down to hang out with, Kyle Reifers,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Beef Johnston.
Beef.
We're going to be hanging out with them on Tuesday. We're going to be shooting some stuff, like we said, for Chef's Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Beef jerky.
Yeah.
Delicious stuff. So I got my eye on those guys. We're going to see if they get a little foreplay bump.
They might, because our guy Wesley Bryan got one. He's playing in this tournament, too.
Yeah, he's playing with
Ryan Blom.
Not necessarily the biggest name out there, but I like that team.
You can't hate Wesley Bryan with the heater that he's on right now.
No.
Patrick Rogers is playing too. This is just good groups here.
There's a lot of good names. There's a lot of good teams. It'll be really interesting. Like the first day is appointment TV for us during the workday, just to kind of like
see.
Just check it out. It's different. It's a no brainer. The only thing that they need to add now is a match play format.
Yeah,
team format.
Yep, I totally agree.
At some point, some event, just get where you enter 2-on-2 match play. You rank the teams or the teams, you know, maybe you do 2 days of stroke play and then 3 days of match play once the stroke play determines the seeds, something along those lines. And then I think our schedule, our tour schedule would be a little closer to where I want it to be.
Yeah. All right. So I've got one more group, and this is the group that I think is going to win. Uh-oh. We have not mentioned them yet. Uh-oh. Here we go. Patrick Reed and Patrick Cantlay. I love this group.
You pick Reed every week.
No. Yes. All right. Maybe. But these two together, they're fiery. They're both fiery guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy there. It's hard to root against Patrick Reed in this format.
That's what I mean. You are right that I do pick him every week because I love him, Captain America. But these are the type of events where he's got somebody to kind of lean on and they want to rile it up a little bit. This is right up his alley.
I am incredibly excited for the alternate shot format.
So awesome.
That to me is just, it's such a different feeling when, you know, your buddy hits a shot and then it's up to you to either capitalize. Like if he hits a really fucking good shot,
yeah,
you're like, oh shit, I don't want to let the boys down. Contrarily, you know, if you hit like a heroic recovery shot after he hits one,
yeah,
after he hits like a shitty one, then you're kind of leaning on him like, hey dude, you fucked me already in this hole.
Yeah.
Don't do it again.
It's a dynamic you like don't get. You just never ever get. And you finally get it. Because yeah, you're playing by yourself. If you hit a bad shot, it's on you. But now you kind of want to play good for your buddy.
You do. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Like we said, it's a no-brainer. We've said it on multiple different podcasts when we've referenced the Zurich, how smart of a decision it was. It's about time somebody did it. The fact this is the first team event since 1981 is stunning.
Stunning. And we're not going to be down there for the tournament itself, but we're going to go down there. We're going to see the course. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we're going to be down there just for one day. Quick little trip, then we'll be right back in here working, grinding. But yeah, we're pumped. Zurich Classic.
Chef Cuts. Chef's Cut.
Chef's Cut. Beef Jerky. Shout out to them again for partnering with the Foreplay Clowns.
So who are you picking to win this Zurich Classic? Just who do you got?
I think Rose and Stenson are going to win it.
God, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Rose might have a little bit of a hangover.
He was hanging out on a yacht.
He was.
So, I mean, I feel like he's probably pretty refreshed.
All right. Unless he was begging to be on the spring break trip like we talked about. He's like, I'm by myself.
You still clinging to the desperation tactics.
Yeah.
That he was using.
Yes.
That unconfirmed.
All right. Yeah. Zurich Classic. It's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be fun to watch. Fun to tweet about. So we'll be out there doing that.
Yeah, that's what we do. We'll be on the internet.
Doing things.
Enjoy the weekend. Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Yeah, most people would have given up by now.